Great. Thanks, Amy. Good morning, everyone. It is good that you're here. I don't know if you know this, but it is really hot. And I'm not looking forward to the weather this afternoon. But of course, we'd love for you to stick around after church. We've got cold drinks. We've got ice blocks today. It's going to be real good. It's preaching time. And so we're going to spend some time looking at that passage that Amy just read out. So before that happens, I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, as I preach today, would this not be about me or for my glory, but would this be about you and for your glory? And Father, for all of us here and for all watching online as well, would you please draw us nearer to you in our hearts and in our minds? Amen. Well, before we get to the passage that was read out, I'm keen to share with you like an overarching teaching from this sermon series. It's something that stemmed out of some conversations I had with my life group, had a great time, and so I found it really encouraging, and I just want to share that with you. So imagine you're at school, or imagine like back when you're at school, youth church, this is particularly good for you. Imagine you're at school and it's lunchtime. You got like your chicken burger from the canteen. It's a nice day. Life's good. And you're walking down the hall and you're walking past the staff room. And you hear all this laughing from the staff room. Something must be very funny. And you pause and move closer to listen to what they're saying. And what you hear is just like diabolical plotting. One teacher's like, ha-ha, yes, let's work together to make sure they have an assignment for every subject due on the same day. And another one's like, yes, and on that day, you know, we'll make them bring all their textbooks in and their gym bag and their instrument. Ha-ha, we'll make it all happen. And then another teacher's like, and on that day, if their uniform is like one atom out of place, they can be in detention until 10 p.m. Ha-ha-ha. And you're just like outside being like, is this real? Like, will anyone believe me? What do I do? But then the bell rings, the door opens, and out come all the teachers, and they're all smiling. They're all carrying their paperwork, probably assessment notifications on the same due day. And then your heart sinks, because out from the staff room comes your teacher, who's about to teach your class. And she smiles at you, and she walks towards the classroom. How would you feel in that moment? How would you feel about your teacher? Pretty rotten, right? You know, you might struggle to be a respectful student in that upcoming class. How would you feel? Now, youth church, this is a real question. I've got the YouTube live chat here. And so if you come up with an answer, how would you feel? And it's great, I'll read it out. That's your job. Now, this is a very dangerous way to start my sermon here at Life Anglican Riverston, because I don't know if you know this, like everyone at this church is a teacher. And so as I was talking, I'm looking around, it's like, and so let's be fair, I'll just do it the other way around. Imagine you're at school and you're a teacher, again, easy for some of you, and you're on lunch duty and you've got your best teacher in the mug world and it's got coffee in it, it's great, it's a sunny day, life's good, and you hear some just very heavy giggling around the corner. And so you go to investigate. And as you go over, you just hear some diabolical plotting. And one student's like, you know, let's totally rearrange Sir's desk and sprinkle glitter in his drawers. Another student's like, yeah, let's change his smart board background to a picture of a baboon's butt. That sounds like something a high schooler would do. And the last student's like, you know, maybe we could inject Sir's apple with some coriander juice. And you're like, at that point, you're like, should I call the police? This is like a crime. But at that point, the bell goes off, lunch is over, the students come around the corner, they're like, oh, hey, sir, we've got you for music now, right? See you there. How would you feel in that moment? Again, you might struggle to be a fair and loving teacher in that next lesson with those students. But what if it was just much worse? What if we just like escalated that scenario? What if instead of like detentions and glitter and coriander, you were with your closest friends and family and you knew they were going to betray you and desert you and hand you over to be tortured and killed? Pretty brutal, right? And what if you knew that this betrayal was going to happen tomorrow and you're currently sitting with them all, sharing a meal? You know, there's eating, there's laughter, there's hanging out, but you know what's coming. How would you feel in that moment? Well, how did Jesus feel in that moment? Because that's him. That's what's happening to him in John's gospel. We've been working through the chapters of John's gospel that are all about Jesus' last night. And on Jesus' last night, he knows that tomorrow he'll be unjustly arrested and put on trial. He knows that he'll be brutally tortured and executed. And he knows that the reason that'll happen, he'll be arrested because he'll be betrayed by one of his closest friends who's there with him. And he knows that after he's arrested, he'll be deserted by his other friends as well. Jesus knows that. He's always known all that. That's what he signed up for. That's the plan. That was always what's going on. But here he is, sitting with his friends who he loves. One will betray him, others will desert him. And without a drop of resentment or bitterness, he lovingly comforts them and teaches them. Isn't that just like classic Jesus? Classic Jesus, right? He's in a room with his friends who have already let him down time and time again and who are about to let him down in a much more significant way. And he teaches them. He comforts them. He reminds them. He makes promises to them. And over the next 3 days, he's going to be crucified and raised from the dead so that they can be forgiven. This is classic Jesus. You know, we've been looking at this for a few weeks now. Back in chapter 13, Jesus says the reason he's sharing all this is so that they'll believe, so that his betraying, deserting friends will believe. And in chapter 14, Jesus says the reason he's sharing all this is so that their hearts will not be troubled, so that his betraying, deserting friends can find peace. In chapter 15, we looked at this just 2 weeks ago, Jesus says the reason he's sharing all this is so that their joy may be complete. His betraying, deserting friends can find complete joy. This is classic Jesus. He's amazing. And for those of us who trust him, we belong to him. Even when we betray and desert him time and time again, we belong to him. He's the vine, we're the branches. Christians belong to Jesus. And if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, this isn't like out of your reach. This isn't only for some people and not others. No, you can belong to him too. And today might be the day that that happens. We belong to him. And so can I just encourage you today to just let that wash over you and refresh you. You belong to Jesus. I found that really encouraging this week, and I'm pretty thankful for my life group for helping me kind of notice that and articulate all of that. But it's good for us to have that in mind. That's given us some context for our passage today, but also it's just good for us to know that as we approach this passage. And I hope that as we work through this passage, again, you'll be even more refreshed and more strengthened. Some more important context before we get to our passage. Last week, we were looking at John chapter 15. Dan was preaching. And what we learned is that the world hates Jesus. And the world doesn't mean like the physical earth, like all the people on earth. You know, like in Aladdin, when Aladdin takes Jasmine on a magic carpet ride and he's like, I can show you the world. Like he means the physical world. And he somehow takes Jasmine from Cairo to Athens in like 1 second. Very fast. How does his hat stay on? But this is not what Jesus means. Jesus means, instead, when he says the world, he means a culture, an attitude, a posture against God. Being of the world, being worldly is rejecting God, is having values that oppose God's values. And we can be confident that's what Jesus means, because in the same passage, he says, Christians do not belong to the world. That is, they don't subscribe to that attitude, that posture, that culture against God. And so the world hates Jesus. That is, people with a worldly attitude, people who reject God, hate Jesus. Now, why do they hate Jesus? Like, what did he ever do to them? The answer is, Jesus gives us the answer. Jesus speaks the truth, and then he proved the truth. The language in the verse is, they hate me because of the words I spoke and the works I displayed. That is, Jesus. They hated Jesus because he told them the truth and he proved it was the truth. And so then there's these people of the world who have rejected God, and they don't like being told the truth about God because, again, their attitude is against God. Their posture is turned away from God. But it's important that Jesus keeps telling them the truth anyway. Even though they hate him, Jesus is going to keep telling them the truth, showing them the truth, because the truth is the hope of the gospel. Anyone can come to Jesus and have their sin forgiven, receive eternal life. Even if the world hates Jesus, the plan is to still share the truth with them. But hang on. This is Jesus' last night. That's what he's just said. Tomorrow, he's going to die. And yes, he'll rise again, but then he'll ascend to heaven and won't be around in the same way. So who's going to continue the work? Who will continue to speak the truth to the world? Well, if you've got your Bible open, you'll see the answer in the first verse of our reading today, John chapter 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me in the beginning. Who is going to continue the work? Who's going to continue telling the truth of the gospel to the world? The answer is the Holy Spirit and you, us Christians, with the power of the Holy Spirit as well. This is the link between last week's passage and this week's passage. The Holy Spirit himself and Christians empowered by the Holy Spirit will continue to share Jesus' message of salvation in a world that hates him. And you know, that means that this hatred towards Jesus, this hostility towards Jesus, it's also now going to turn towards us. Now, with that in mind, I think chapter 16 just makes a lot more sense. Look at verse 1. Jesus says, "All this I've told you so that you will not fall away." What's all this? Well, it's the thing that Jesus just said, the thing that we've just said. He's just said that because Christians, by the power of the Spirit, are going to share the truth about Jesus, there will be resistance and persecution and hatred and hostility towards us. And so Jesus says, it's good that you know this so that when all this happens, you won't fall away. Because you'll be ready for it. You'll expect it. You'll understand it. And you'll know that when someone rejects the truth about Jesus that you share with them, they're not actually rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. You'll know all that. That's why Jesus tells his disciples, and that's why he's telling us today. In verse 2, he gives this example of what it will look like for the disciples. It's pretty intense. They're going to be thrown out of the synagogue and maybe even killed. And who is responsible for doing that? Verse 3, people who don't know the Father, people who don't know Jesus. That is worldly people, people belonging to the world. And it might not look like that specific example for us, but certainly in other times in history and in other places in the world, that's a pretty reasonable example. Following Jesus might lead to death. And Christians need to know that so that if it happens, they won't fall away. And you can imagine, right, the disciples, they hear this. They hear this example. They hear verse 2 and 3, and they're kind of looking at each other, maybe. Is this for real? Like a time is coming where people want to kill us because we follow Jesus? And so in verse 4, Jesus just very kindly repeats himself. I'm telling you this. I'm warning you about this, again, so that you will not fall away. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to know this. Like, this is true. It's true that following Jesus is profoundly satisfying and brings about this monumental joy and hope and peace and purpose in this life and the next. To follow Jesus is the best decision you could ever make. And following Jesus will bring about strife and resistance and pressure and hatred upon you in your life. The world might not throw you out of a synagogue or kill you, but it will appear maybe in a different kind of way. And you just need to know that's true so that when it does happen, you won't fall away. Before I was a minister, I used to be a solar energy engineer, and I studied at the University of New South Wales. And they had this awesome Christian group on campus called Campus Bible Study. And one of the things that I did with Campus Bible Study was something called Walk Up. And what we would do, you and a friend would walk up to someone and just ask them what they think about Jesus. And at the start, it was pretty scary, but like everything, practice makes progress, so it got easier. And there were some amazing moments. You know, we'd go up to people and we'd ask them about Jesus, and they say, we'd never really thought about it. And we'd say, well, can we tell you about him? And they'd be like, yep. And then we'd have this amazing gospel conversation. That happened like sometimes. Much more often, we were just rejected. And sometimes it was a particularly unpleasant rejection. But we knew about Jesus' words in John 16. We were taught it. We expected rejection. We prayed about it before we went and did Walk Up. And so when it happened, when we were rejected, when the truth about Jesus was rejected, that's fine. We just went on to the next person, because that's just the thing that happens. That's the thing that Jesus promises is going to happen. And so you need to know that following Jesus brings about strife. It brings about rejection. People are going to reject the gospel. People are going to reject you, and that's true, and you need to know it so you won't fall away. Now, I think it was a good move to kind of share my encouragement at the start from what I learned at Life Group, because what we've just heard is a pretty hard thing to hear, right? You are going to struggle. You're going to suffer. Following Jesus brings about strife. But Jesus is about to give us some more good news. And so in the rest of our passage, Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And he says that the Spirit is good for us. You can see in verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And so why is the Spirit good? Well, there's lots of reasons, but particularly in this passage, it's because of what he does in verses 8 to 11. Now, you might already know this. I preached on this passage in August last year when we did our series in the Trinity. And so I only preached on this 6 months ago. And in that sermon, I spent a lot more time in verses 8 to 11 and what they mean and how we got there. And so if that's something that you want, you can find that sermon on YouTube. But for today, I'm just going to give you the summary of verses 8 to 11. In verses 8 to 11, Jesus teaches that the Holy Spirit exposes people to themselves. The Spirit shows people the truth about themselves in three ways. You can see them there. He shows people the truth about sin. That is, the Spirit helps people to comprehend and feel the weight of sin so that people will turn to Jesus. Second way, he shows people the truth about their righteousness, which is actually false righteousness. People think that they are right before God, but they're not, and they need a Savior, and the Spirit convinces people of that. And the third way, he shows people the truth about the judgments that they make, about their decision-making and how it is just kind of morally bankrupt and totally incompatible with God's standards. That's what those three things mean in those verses. And so the Spirit exposes exposes people to themselves. He exposes the fact that they fall short of God's standards and that they really need a Savior. And then he draws people to that Savior. He draws people to Jesus. And the way that he does that is by bringing about this new life in you, giving you a new heart and a new mind so that you can follow Jesus. And once you follow Jesus, that same Holy Spirit then lives in you and works through you. The Holy Spirit is good. And if you are in Christ, then you have him. You know, God's very kind that this passage landed just a few weeks before Easter, because I think there's a really clear next step that all of us can take from today. Because we've already said that Jesus handed over his ministry of sharing the truth of the gospel to the Holy Spirit and to us. For our youth church students, we talked about this at Friday Night Youth Life last week. Disciples are disciple makers. That's the language we use. Christians make other Christians. That's just what we do. And this Easter, we have so many opportunities. Certainly opportunities to go out and share life with people out there, but also to share life in Jesus with people by bringing them here. Like, we've already talked about all this, you know, Creator Kids, Easter services, Alpha, so on. And like Dan said before, we're just convinced that the best strategy is for you to prayerfully invite people that you know to come along with you. And so, that's what you should do. That's a next step that everyone here can take. Here's four reasons why this is what you should do. I've already said all these. This is like a summary. You should prayerfully invite people to come along with you because Jesus left you the ministry when he ascended to heaven. Disciples are disciple makers. You should prayerfully invite people to come along with you because you have help. The Holy Spirit lives in you and is the one who is working in you and in others. You should prayerfully invite people to come along with you because following Jesus is just profoundly beautiful and satisfying and joy-filling, and we should desperately want people that we know to accept Jesus as Lord. And the fourth reason, you should prayerfully invite people to come along with you because if they say no, if they come along and they hate it, if they reject you, they reject Jesus, then that's okay. That's expected. That's normal. That's a thing that happens. And you can know that if they reject you, they're really rejecting Jesus. And so the encouragement, I think, from today is to say, you should prayerfully invite people to come along with you to our Easter events. You know, last year at Alpha, there's a couple from Night Church, Mitch and Bryony, they're awesome. And they brought some friends with them, and one of them became a Christian at Alpha. Like, that's true. That happened. Here in this room, a dude, like, put his trust in Jesus. That's amazing. The kingdom of God grew here. And wouldn't it be great if that happened again this year? So here's the plan. I'm going to pray and finish up. And I'm going to leave you just some space to pray for someone that you would like to come along with you to one of our Easter events. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that the same Jesus who loved and taught his foolish friends on the night before he died also loves us, even when we too betray him and desert him. And Father, would you help us to know and remember that Jesus has given us the ministry of sharing the truth. And would you help us to act on it this Easter? And so, Father, we now think of that person that we want to invite, and we just pray for them now in our own heads. And Father, we do pray that you would help us to know for sure that sharing Jesus is sometimes not going to go well. Would you give us courage and resilience when we are faced with persecution and resistance, so that we might not fall away, so that we might cling to you? And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.